sermon.
Take your Bible tonight. I'm going to ask you to turn to two places. I want you to put your hand in one and then go to another one. And one is Psalm 31:12. Psalm 31:12. And then I want you to go to Luke 12:6. Psalm 31:12 and then Luke 12:6. I'm going to talk about the forgotten man tonight. We make a big deal of the call of God here at Heritage Baptist Church. We make a big deal about that. We rejoice when men and women are willing to take the call of missions or take the call of evangelism or take the call of pastorate. We make a big deal and pray over them, and we respond excitedly when they are ready to go on deputation, and we make preparation for missionaries to go on the field, and sometimes we have the privilege to go with them and scout it out. I know the Ortez, we had a wonderful, probably one of my favorite trips is my wife and I went with James and Sherry on the mission trip, first mission trip over to Nepal. I think of a couple funny things that happened. When they got on the plane, didn't realize that we were going to go over the international dateline, and Sherry didn't have one of her anniversaries. we just skipped the day. Hey. But I thought it'd be nice, so I told the steward about it, and they brought him a big old glass of champagne. I mean, a big bottle of champagne. Remember that? And we're witnessing to a couple Korean boys, I think, and had the privilege. One of his name was Mushroom. His name was something like a mushroom or something. And they couldn't believe it that they wouldn't take that. But anyway, so I took it and drank it myself in the toilet. But anyway, we had a good time. I remember going to in Seoul, Korea. And how many know anything about Asian bathrooms? And just little holes in the floor, you know. And Marcia and Sherry went to the bathroom, and all of a sudden they started giggling. And all of a sudden one of them stood up, and you could see their head. Giggling, laughing. We had a time, amen. Thank God. But we do get excited about the mission field. We get excited about people going. As a pastor, you always get excited about seeing people willing to give their lives to serve the Lord. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. We try to help them get their passage fee. That's the money it's going to cost them to get all their papers and airline tickets and all that kind of stuff. And we have missionary commissioning services for them, and we say our goodbyes, and somehow we try to get over there in the first year they're there. And there are just some things that go on in our lives, you know, that we really believe in missions here at Heritage Baptist Church. And I just want to talk to you tonight just for a minute. We have a tendency at Heritage Baptist Church to move a lot around here. You'll notice that we have new faces and old faces. They're just gone. They're just, Don Dion told me, he says, I don't know if you're ready for this, Brother Shear. He said, about every 3 to 5 years, you're going to have to start another church. And we have done that. And would all the people who have been in our church for 10 years stand up? You've been in our church for 10 years. We'd have a few people in the church tonight if we did that. All right, how about 15 years? You've been in our church for 15 years. All right, 20 years. But you can't get rid of you, can I? But anyway, thank you. You may be seated. But it just kind of shows you that. And if we do that on Sunday morning, it would just blow your socks off just to see how few people have been here very long. And it is a constant work of art, may I say. It's a constant work of art for your pastor to see people come and go. And I'm sure liking people coming and going. I'm telling you, I remember when Clyde Beal's mama said, we're going to move. Yeah, it broke my heart, man. I'll tell you what, that was a hard-working lady, and she loved the Lord, and she was always so excited about everything, you know. But now, thank God, come back. Amen. I appreciate that. I want to talk to you about that. Somehow, though, we are not very good at remembering. And after a missionary is on the field for a while, some people forget. That's why we have mission conference. I really feel bad that we didn't have mission conference last year. It was impossible to do. Just got to keep our missionaries in front of our people, in their face, constantly reminding them of what we do. And if you're here this morning, you cannot get the message. I'm just sick about it. One of our recorders died, and I don't know what's going on with that. Got a brand new recorder.
I got this morning.
Huh? Oh, you did get this morning. Okay, so praise the Lord. We got a new recorder back there and getting that. So anyway, I want you to have the feeling of missions. And that's why I got my doctorate. One of the things I got my doctorate is working with missions from the Fairview Baptist Church, from Mount State Baptist College, was because of working with missions. And I don't want to lose. I don't want you to lose, and I don't want to lose that taste for missions at Heritage Baptist Church. I want you to be so excited that you cannot wait to give your child to missions. For some of you, you'd probably like to give them to us right now, and they're not old enough. Amen. But anyway, all right. You have your Bible there. I want you to go to Psalm 31:12 in the Bible. Let's stand if you're able. I understand that if you're not able. You're able. Psalm 31:12 says, I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. You've heard the old story. About when so far apart, about love. What's the old saying? There's a saying about that. Absent, what? Yeah, for somebody else. Absent makes the heart go fonder for somebody else. Amen. So when a person goes off and goes to another field, goes all of a sudden people start connecting, and they have to, unfortunately, have to find somebody to be their friend. You gotta have friends. You gotta make friends. Sometimes a missionary goes into a foreign country. There's no friends. There's nobody. Thank God for the few friends you folks had over in Nepal. I know a family that was on an island, and they had no friends. They really had no friends. I think that was one of the worst things that ever happened. You know, got to make friends. You got to make friends. Some people don't want to make friends with the natives or the nationals. Well, if you're going to work with the nationals, they better be your best friends. You better find someone to converse with. So the Bible says here, I am forgotten as dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. You got a broken glass at home? What do you do with it? Throw it away. You don't use it anymore. You know, just put it aside. That's what he says. That's what I am. I'm a broken vessel. They don't need me anymore. Well, that's sad, isn't it? That's a sad verse. Then I want you to go to Luke chapter 12, verse 6. 12:6, sang about this morning. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthing, and not one of them is forgotten before God? I'm glad about that. I'm glad about that. We're not forgotten. And this has to be the premise when a missionary goes to the field, that he's not forgotten. Well, nobody writes to me. Well, your pastor writes every month to you. You just haven't written back to me. I'm forgotten like a dead man. Amen. Out of mind. So tonight I wanted to talk to you about the missions. I just want to give you a taste of missions a little bit. And James, you can correct me if I'm not telling you the whole truth. And Sherry and Corey and Candace and Sheldon and Crystal, you can say to me, and Josh, and you say to me, Pastor, no, that's not the way it is. I think I do know what it is. And I have burdened long for my missionaries. And I want them to do the best. And I hope that tonight you'll get a little taste of missions. Father, we want to be real in 2013. One of those things is our missions. And too often some of our missionaries are forgotten people. And I pray that we would not forget them at Heritage Baptist Church. And Lord, help them to help us to bring them back to mind and remember them. And Lord, that you would do a great work in our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I would say the first thing that a missionary needs is prayer. The first thing a missionary needs is prayer. Many of them go into hostile environments. Many of them go into cultures that they do not know about. Many of them go where they do not know the language. I remember when Richard Matthews went to Brazil. They didn't know Portuguese. It was foreign to them. Andrew caught up, found him real good, and found him a wife. Amen. But anyway, going to Nepal, I remember going over there with them, and boy, oh boy, all that stuff, and boy, it rattles your mind just think of it. I know going over to the Philippines. I remember Sam Heidenreich, who grew up in the Philippines. He doesn't know anything about America. He grew up in the Philippines. He grew up in the mission field. And I hear him, I said, what did you say? I said, get up in the bus and get going. I said, well, you know, all I was hearing, so we don't know those things. And it's difficult for some people to be able to be in a foreign country and don't know the language. And boy, some of them they struggle. And that's why so many, after the first couple years in the mission field, they come home. They don't understand that it is a great responsibility. By the way, when a missionary goes to a foreign country and he's starting a church, he's no different than I was when I came here to start a church. And the culture of Montana is a little different than the culture of Michigan and Minnesota and South Dakota. And the culture and, there's a lot of difference to it. And you got to figure some things out. And you want to be good. You don't want to offend. And you can offend some people, amen. In Minnesota, if you were the pastor, people expect you to drop in to see them. You just pull up in the yard. Hey, the preacher's here. Everything stops on the farm. Man, they come in, they have coffee and cookies. I stopped out a rancher out here in Montana, and they said, next time you call. I said, what? Says, you need to call before you come. That's very rude of you to stop in to see us. And I said, ma'am, I'm your pastor. She said, I don't care who you are. If you want to come see us, you call and make an appointment. There's a difference. There's a real difference. You know, I was very offended when she said that to me. Because then I thought, hey, the preacher's here. I remember the pastor coming to my home in Michigan. And man, we stopped. I mean, the tractor pulled in and we stopped and we sat down. And we talked about the things of God. And boy, we just had a great time. And any time the pastor did not stop, we ask him at church, why don't you stop at the house? Us kids want him to stop because that means cookie and cake, amen. It was a grand deal to have. It was a grandiosa the preacher would pull in and grace our house and grace our farm to think the man of God came to our house. That's not the way they think out here. Next time, give me a call. And I told her, I says, she said, it ain't the way that is out here. And I was flabbergasted. I'd be very honest with you. You know, I thought I was a blessing come on your property. I found out I was a curse. So, and maybe they were hiding something. I don't know. But anyway, missionaries need prayer. And we need to pray for them daily. And on distant, lonely soil, they stand in need of God's help. There are some times that they don't know what's happening. There are some times they just don't know which way to turn. There are some times that they may have stepped on some cultural thing that's not right. And many of those people will not tell you that. And you can bombard into them, and they're not used to that, and so therefore you have to learn those things, and they need prayer. Our prayers can bring the blessings they so much need, and we should pray for them by name. Pray for them by name. I was accosted by a missionary after stumbling over his children's names. He said, "You don't even pray very well. Pray very well for us, do you? You don't even know my kids' names." Yes, I was praying for their name, but I got them mixed up the age group, you know. But still, hey, if I can ask you for every name of the missionary the kid to have, I want to do it. Andrew Becker, I thought you were the third son. You're the fourth son. They have so many kids. Good luck. But anyway, and I got a picture of, I had three boys riding on a motorcycle with me out here in the front of the church. And I was thinking of that. I said, I got a picture of him when he came to the first service. And so I've been looking at my computer, and I found it last night, and I printed it out. I brought it, and I said, "Man, I got a picture." He says, "No, that's my brother." Shut up, man. Why don't you just say, "Yeah, thank you." But anyway, it really hurt my heart, man. But anyway, we need to pray for him. Pray for him by name. Pray for him by name. Pray for him by name. Know him. Get up to know him. Pray for him by name. There is no reason why you cannot communicate with the missionary today. I know that my wife and I, we used to call Nepal some crazy time of the day or night. I can't remember when it was. I think there was 14 hours? 12 hours. 12 hours and 15 minutes or some screwy thing, amen. And so we call at 12 noon and they were in bed, you know. And then they call us and we're in bed. So anyway, there's no reason why you can't communicate to these missionaries. They want to hear from you. We have Skype, we have email, we have Fring, we have FaceTime. Very simple. I Skyped with Sam Heidenreich a while back. And, boy, what a blessing just to see him and be able to talk to them. And there's no reason we cannot keep in contact with our missionaries. They need contact with us. We should pray for our missionaries. We ought to keep them in our minds. We ought to use their prayer cards and look at them. Hopefully they keep them up to date. In our devotions, we sit down and read the Word of God. We ought to remember, I know some families, they take one missionary a day. And this is the Ortiz day today, and this is the Matthews day today, and this is the Holman day today. And go through the week like that. We ought to remind them in Sunday school classes. Each of you Sunday school teachers ought to have pictures of missionaries in your classroom and remind the kids and take that prayer card off and run around the room and say, "This is our missionary from Nepal," or "This is our missionary from Brazil," "This is our missionary from the Philippines," "This is our missionary to the Native Americans," on and on. We should pray for our missionaries for their benefit and our benefit. Thank God for our missionaries out there doing a job that we cannot do. We have invested God's money in them, and we want our investment to grow. When I personally give every week to missions, and you can look at my mission giving, I haven't missed a lick on that. You should never miss a lick. Those people need your help. And I'm going to tell you something. When I give it, you know what? I expect return. I'm not giving to a vision to a vacationary. I'm giving to a missionary. A missionary does a job, and he goes out and wins people to Jesus Christ, and he builds churches, and he gets some nationals going, and goes to the next place. Amen. Or he makes one. You might say it just that he sets up a place, and then he sends them out like Brother Ortiz is doing. out of that college, sending them kids out, getting them out, doing something for God, amen. That's what it's about. I'm investing. I'm glad I invested the Ortega for those five or six churches they got going. Amen. People getting saved. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you what, I got to preach at BJ's church. Oh, my goodness, what a fun time that was. There's a little motto about prayer which really presses upon my heart. No man ever had to back up when he went forward on his knees. No man ever had to back up when he went forward on his knees. And if the devil can't beat you in prayer, he can't beat you anywhere. And boy, I'll tell you what, some of those places are very, very devilish. You can feel the oppression in some of these mission fields. I remember with Mark Grenton, we went way up into the mountains in Dominican Republic. And man, it just seemed like your old hair to stand on edge. And come find out we're getting going by a guy that is a voodoo doctor. Man, you just feel it. Hey, it's real. And these guys are in there all the time. Do they need your prayer? They need your prayer. I remember a missionary telling a story about how that he felt something really strange that night. And he and his wife were huddled in their little hut. And just there's just something going on. He got on his knees and he just begged God. And some folks in America were praying for the same missionary. And they had an all-night meeting, prayer meeting for that man. The next day, one of the little boys in that village came up to him and said that there's a whole bunch of people that came around and they were going to kill him. But some big guards came out of their hut, and it scared them. They ran away. And the missionary says, "We had no visitors." And he found out the church was praying for him that same night. Don't you think God's going to take care of your missionary?
Amen.
Don't let him be the forgotten man. Don't let him be the forgotten people. Hey, if you invest in them, you need to pray for them. Missionary needs our support. Number two, missionary needs our support. We should never be slow in giving financial support to missions. We must remember that God's blessing will be upon our work. If we constantly give unto those who are carrying the gospel to the end of the world. What does the Bible say, Acts 1:8? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. God says that is our responsibility. It is a responsibility that we give. It's our responsibility also that we go. Number three, missionaries are not only forgotten, many of them cannot understand after they have been on the field for a while. You cannot understand them once they've been on the field and they come home. There's something different about them. You can't explain it. There's just something about it. They go into a strange culture. They're foreigners. The origin of the word culture comes from the Latin cultura, the meaning of growing, cultivating, even to cultivate the culture. Culture is an art. It is a manifestation of human intellect, achievement regarded collectively. That's why they do certain things. It's been cultivated in their life. They do some weird things over Nepal. Really weird things. They go out in the morning and they have their little bells and they light their little puja and they put a little dot on their head and they throw some rice out there. And I forget what that day is when they put a red all over them or... what is that? The Indians throw red dye on you. But anyways, holy day. You know, and they think more holy you are, the less clothes you wear. Amen. Well, I guess that's true. You get more holes in your clothes, the more you see. But anyway, and You go down to Dubar Square and you see some crazy stuff going on over there. Well, that's their culture. They're used to that. They understand that. You don't. So our missionary needs prayer. And then when he comes home, there are certain things in his culture that has changed. The customs, the institution, the achievement of particular nations, people, or groups, the missionary and his family must learn it, or they're helplessly worthless on the field. There are certain things you just have to know. There are just certain things. That'd be like shaking hands with some of those people in Muslim, or showing the bottom of your shoes. That's a very, I don't like it a bit, you know. And there's a lot of things you need to do, and they have to know those things. This is dated, okay? So understand it. I'm going to read this. A guy named was T. Morton Sturrett, and he was a missionary. He said, "Are missionaries unbalanced?" Of course they are. "I am one of them," he said. "I ought to know. A missionary begins like ordinary person. He dresses like other people. He plays tennis and listens to good music. But before leaving for the field, he became different, admired by some and pitied by others. He was known as one of who leaving their parents, prospects, and home for a vision." Well, at least they sounded like visionaries. "Now that he has come home again, he is more different. To him, some things, seemingly big things, are not important to him anymore. The World Series, the Davis Cup, do not stir him much. Apparently, he doesn't see things as other people see things. The change of a lifetime to meet Van Cliburn personally seems to leave him cold. It makes you want to ask where he's been." Well, where he's been, where the conflict, the evil is open and intense, where there is a fight, not a fashion, where clothes don't matter, for there is little time for them. When people are dying for help they might give, and most of them not knowing what he has. Where the sun means 120 degrees in the shade. Not only space, but time too seems to pass by. When they talk about jive, he looks puzzled. When you mention the latest fad, he asks, "What is that?" You wonder how long he's been away. All right. How long has he been away? Long enough for 30 million people to go into eternity without Christ, with no chance to hear the gospel. Some of them went right before his eyes. When the flimsy river boat turned over, when the Hindu-Muslim riot broke out. How long has he been gone? Long enough to have two seizures of amniotic dysentery, the nurse, his wife, through repeated attacks of malaria, to get news that his mother died before he knew she was sick. How long? Long enough to see few outcast men and women turn to Christ, to see them drink the Bible and teaching them, they gave them, long enough to struggle and suffer with them through the persecution that developed from non-Christian relatives. So he is different. Unnecessarily, so it seems, at least, he is this country now. He could pay more attention to his clothes and to what is going on in the country. He could have more time for recreation and social life. Of course he could. But he can't forget, at least most of the time, that price of a new suit could buy 3,200 gospels. And while an American spends a day in business, 5,000 Indian, Chinese, or Africans go into eternity will of Jesus Christ. So when missionaries come to your church, remember that he is likely to be different. If he stumbles for words now and then, it may be that he's been speaking a foreign language for 6 or 7 years or even 12. He is possibly very fluent in that foreign language. Yes, missionaries are imbalanced. But by whose scale? Yours or God? That troubles me. I know that we're going to have the Mike Wanzer family here. They've been in the Philippines. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to hear some dreams and visions. They're so fired up about serving God. They've got some things they really want to help. And I'm so excited they're going to come to Heritage Baptist Church. You get to see them. I have a few questions I'd like to pose to you. Have you ever thought seriously considering and praying about going on a mission trip? There are countless mission fields, easy access to the world. Have you recently asked God how He can use your ability in world evangelism? I know Brother Gibbons and Fern went over to Dominican Barbados, and what a blessing they was over there. They were in Dominican Republic. I can't remember. Was it Barbados? What a blessing you guys were there. I know that some of you guys went with me to Mexico, and we built fences and things. We've been in the Philippines. We did so much. This is not a vacation trip. It's a lot of work, and a lot of work to be done. Have you ever considered spending your retirement days? Or have you ever considered spending your vacation days? Have you ever thought about spending your family days in a foreign country serving the Lord? If you do, make sure that you do not become a financial burden when you go and stay with them. A friend of mine that told me about a couple pastors that came over to a mission field. And he said they were more burden and bother than me than I don't know what to do with them. Cost a lot of money. Set the ministry back. You never want to set a ministry back. good night. You want to be over there and be a blessing. Bring everything you can. And leave it there, amen. Help them. Encourage them, amen. Have you ever pondered what life really is of eternal values? Your home, your land, your latest fashion, your fast food, your sports. Are you willing to trust God and put food on your table and clothing on your back, roof over your head on foreign soil? Have you ever thought about that? It's easy to study the Bible rather than live it. It's easy to preach or hear than to apply it. It's easier to study than to follow the example of Christ than serving the hungry, naked, and lost. The real dynamic, powerful Christianity is found in the basic teachings of Jesus Christ we need to follow His step. Jesus touched the sick. He comforted the lonely. He fed the hungry. He endured hardship. He healed the possessed. He loved the unlovable. About time some of us sell out, sell all, give to the poor, and follow Him. Amen. What is your life going to mean anyway? I was just thinking the other day, and I was going through the Montana paper, if you turn the next page over, the obituaries, and I saw people's names and what they did. And that's all they got for their whole life. And I thought, I love to go fishing, I love to go hunting, I love my dog. No, that's good. And that's fine. But I think there's more to life than that. The Lord Jesus Christ commanded us to visit the orphans, the widows. When was the last time you visited a widow? When's the last time you stopped in to see someone from our church that's a widow? The Bible said that the Scripture says that a great Christian is one that takes care of the fatherless and the widow in her need. When was the last time you did it? When was the last time you said, hey, how about dinner? Hey, come on over. Love to have you. You got to eat anyway. I'd rather eat with people than sit by myself. I don't know how to cook without making a whole gob. I don't know what a whole gob is, but I know that most of the gob goes back in the refrigerator. We ate it for the next 3 days. He commanded us to visit the orphans and widows. He commanded to take the gospel to every creature and every nation. He said, give to the needy, love our enemies, ourselves, and to lose our lives for the sake of the gospel. What a wonderful thing. And now that God said, I will be with you always, even on the end of the world. You're not going by yourself. James and Sherry, the family, when they went to Nepal, they didn't go by themselves. Jesus went with them. Unfortunately, some people forget that. Some missionaries forget that and forget they're doing what they're supposed to do. So what? Nobody contacts you. Just keep doing what God wants you to do. Just keep at it. Don't give up. Just keep at it. God says in Hebrews 6:10, your work is not, God is not unfaithful about your work. He's going to reward you. Jesus said to the disciples, hey, 100 times more you're going to get. What you do when you leave all this, he said, I'll give you 109 more. What would Great Falls be like if someone started giving all to the poor? There are some people who are in really great need this morning. I don't know if you met them or not. Did you help them? Some people really had some need this morning. King of Heritage. Need some help. And the Bible says, if someone asks you for help and you got something, don't pray for them. Give them the help. And don't expect to get it back. What a blessing to be able to give, because that means you've got something. You ought to have something to give. I'd rather be a guy that has something to give than a guy that doesn't have anything looking for a handout. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you don't have any and it's your fault and you're not out there busting your knuckles and wearing your fingers to the bones, that's your fault. You'll find some people, they're just always looking for a handout. Well, praise the Lord. You know what? When someone asks me for something and I give it to them, hey, it's on God because God, I think, impressed me to give something. And if they don't use it the right way, I'm getting the blessing and God's going to put the whoop to him. Amen. Look for people that need help. Look for people that are tired. Look for people that just don't know which way to turn. Put your shoulder under them. Help them, amen. Encourage them. Really, that's what missions is all about, isn't it? Huh? Share the Lord with the lost. Start loving and caring for all that you come in contact with. Just because you find a guy that fell in a tackle box, his dad's tackle box, and he's got things sticking all over his face, you know what? He was somebody's little boy at one time. He said, I don't want to talk to him. Why? Why do you think he's got that in his face? Because he wants to be different. Oh, he's different. The trouble is there's so many like that, that there are us people that don't have things stuck on us or painted on. We're the ones that are different, amen. Talk to him. That man that stuck those things in him, there's great pain to it. Don't you tell me there's no great pain to it. Well, I've got I was fishing with one of my sons, and he was fly fishing, and he went like this, and the fly went by me and goes stuck on my ear. Now, if you've ever had a fish hook stuck in your ear, it really hurts. But I'm dad, and I got to be tough, right? You okay, Dad?
No.
What's wrong? Your number four hook is stuck in my ear. And if you've ever seen another four hook, five, it's just a little guy. But man, it's a bite like a critter, man. I said, what are you going to do, Dad? I said, I'm going to pull that thing out. Oh, Dad, yeah, let's go to the doctor. I ain't going to go to a doctor. And so we finished the float. And we got to the shore, and I saw a guy, and I went up, and I said, do you have a hemostat? He says, yes, I do. I said, could I borrow that? He said, what do you want to borrow? I said, see this? And he goes, hey, don't do that. And I said, I need to use your mirror. And I went, The pain wasn't gone, but the thing was out of my ear, amen. So those things gotta hurt when they stick things in their ears and their eyes and up there. Did you see that new diamond ring? You stick it right in your finger? Are you out of your mind? Hey, baby, I love you, but there's a point. Hey, you know what? Those people need help. They're looking for something. Yes, they are. Wouldn't it be great if they found Jesus? A missionary tells a story of the time that he had to tell the natives that he had to go back to his own country. The spokesman of the tribe came to him and he said, I'm going to ask him, God, to help us. To send someone from your village, he told the white man, to come and teach us the Word of God. There are many of us, you know. And if no one comes, we will die ignorant of God and His ways. Then the spokesman of the tribe said, with tears coming down his cheeks, you will take my letter, won't you? There are so many people in this world without Christ. I have a friend of mine that their mission work in Iraq, Iran, and Syria. And preachers are dying like flies over there. They're killing them. They're killing their families. They're killing their children. They're trying to literally eradicate all Christendom. When I met with him a while back, he was telling me some of the hideous torture things they do to men. It's unbelievable. And what they do to their children in front of their father, and then once they do that to their children and tell them to recant, then they chop off the head of the father. Or they bury him into the ground just to their neck. And you can imagine what they do to those men. We sure got it pretty easy here, don't we? When's the last time somebody spit in your face because you said you believe in Jesus Christ? It may come. I was talking to a prominent pastor a while back, and he says, you know, preacher, it may come to the time in America real soon that people will tell you either you denounce Christ or else. See, the Germans said that would never happen. And it happened. we're on very, very shaky ground. Unless there's some folks get out and do some things for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, it's getting dark. It's getting dark. We need missionaries. And where are you going to get them? You're going to get them right here. And when God calls you, He calls you to prepare. You don't want to go over there when you're not prepared. You want to be prepared. You want to know what you're doing. It may be called upon you to write a scriptures that they've never had the scriptures in their tongue. Well, guess what you got to have? It's called English. It's called knowing all the different things in the foreign language. You might even have to write a foreign language that's never been written before. You say, but Pastor. Mm-hmm. And you may be forgotten. And people may not write you, and people may forget to give their mission giving. And all of a sudden, the things that you thought were going to happen, and you thought the money was going to be there to print something, it's not going to be there. And you're all of a sudden being like the little missionary kids who are so excited they've kept a box of post toasties. You know what the post toasties are? The little things. And they're so excited about it, and they've kept it for 6 months. But they didn't realize that the little ants can get inside the smallest of things. And I know some missionary kids that did this. They poured that box out, and all of a sudden, those postosis were living. You know what those little critters did? They scooped off the ants and ate them. They said, I ain't going to have no ant tell me I can't eat mine. And you know what? You say, oh, them poor missionaries. Poor missionaries. 2/3 of missionary kids and preacher's kids have the highest grade average, and they almost, something like 90-some percent, graduate from college and go on to greater things. So don't tell me about these poor kids. These poor kids are bilingual. One party said, what is a bilingual? Something American, is it? So don't feel sorry for the missionaries. And yes, they are forgotten, but I'll tell you, there's one who never forgot them. His name is Jesus Christ. And your responsibility is to be faithful. When God calls you to mission field, go! And do what God tells you to do. And don't give up. And keep at it. Amen. You say, but Pastor, it's only me. Well, at least you're there. You say, but Pastor, I can't do much. You may not do much, but you can do something. You say, but Pastor, I don't have the gifts like other men have. That's okay. I know a couple of missionaries right now. One just came off the field. He because of sickness. And another guy is still doing it. I'm telling you, he is a goofball if you've ever met him. I went to his house one time. I stayed there. I preached for him. And we went to dinner at his house. He has quite a few children. And I was there. He said, do you play chess? I said, no. Not too bad. He said, I'd like to play chess with you at the table and beat you. Okay. I'm here to be a blessing to you, brother. I don't want you beating me. And so after a while, we're sitting there, and a wife bring out food, and I look over, and he's got an encyclopedia. He's got his dish here, an encyclopedia, and he's reading the encyclopedia. Hey! Hello! I'm here! I want to talk to you! He's reading the encyclopedia. He's the goofball I've ever seen. But that goofball, every month sees over 1,000 saved. Who cares if he's a goofball? That's the kind of guy I want to support. You say, but he doesn't have much culture. Who cares? Is he doing the job? He's getting the job done. Who cares? Right? I know another missionary. He's as crazy as I've ever met a guy. I don't know how many churches he started. Unbelievable. He's kind of the weirdest guy I ever met in my life. Maybe I'm the guy that's weird and those guys aren't. I don't know. But it's an amazing thing when a person can leave America and go someplace else and everybody looks at them and just does great things with them. It's a perfect fit. Hey, you know what? Why don't you let God do the job? And the Bible said we just be little servant boys. Let God guide us. He said, but preacher, I don't even know how to get on an airplane. And how can I travel across the whole world? Only just get on. If you miss one flight, they'll get you out of there. They don't want you staying there. He said, but preacher, I don't understand. It's okay. There's a few people around here to help you. You ought to be so excited about doing something for God. Some of you guys aren't married. You ought to try some way, somehow, to get to a mission field. And just be around that missionary. And see what missionary like, and you say, shoot, I can do this. Some of you couples are just married. You don't have any children. You ought to go. What a blessing it is. You can go to some place and they got, like the Matthews, 810 kids over there. Wouldn't it be great to just come to their place and help them wash and help them fold their clothes and just giggle and laugh? It's so important that you bring your wife with you. Amen, Miss Sherry. Isn't it good to have the wife come with the preacher? Yeah. That's big. Girls like to talk about things. They like to go shopping. Be sure nice. I remember we went to Nepal once, and I don't know if I was getting in trouble or not, but I went and bought these great big makeup kits for the girls. I got one. Didn't I get one for Corey? And I got one for Carla. And you couldn't have one yet because you weren't old enough. Are you bitter? You're not bitter. I just say, good night. That's a long ways over there to get you one of them things. Amen. But I remember doing some of that stuff. Isn't it? It's a big deal. Mission field's wide open. Missionaries, if you want to go on a mission trip, I'll tell you what, I can really help you out real quick. Cost some money. You might not be able to afford a new iPad, or you might have to stop using the internet, or stop using your television. You might not be able to buy that new car right away, but I'll give you something that will last you for a lifetime. For my eye affected my heart. Be surprised if you threw $5 in a pot every day, how quick you can get an airline ticket. Be surprised how you can do those things. Say, well, I won't go to McDonald's today. There's $5. I'm never getting out of McDonald's for $5. I'm talking to my son about that. I guess I won't have a Starbucks today because I'm gonna put it away. I wish you'd change your mind about missions. We are a very, very mobile society. You can get on an airplane and you can head over and go to wherever God called you to, and you can do it in a day. Or a day and a half, going to Nepal, amen. It'd be an amazing trip to change your heart and change your life. Go to Disney? No, I want to go to Dominican Republic. No, I want to go to Belize. The Leonards keep bugging me to go to Belize. Where else Belize is, I have no idea, but it's down South America someplace, amen. I want to go here. I want to go there. I want to go to the Philippines. Hey, boy, they clamor for you to come there. Beg you to come there. Come help us. What a change. What a great idea to have your, take your daughter or your son on their senior, take them on a senior trip to a mission field. Don't be a burden. You go over there to help. And I'll guarantee you, you'll never have so much fun in your life. Father,